Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is January 22nd, 2015. It is 1 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Joanne, and I'm your host. I'm waiting for actress Lizzie Small to call into the hotline, and we're going to talk to her about her role that is in the movie Spare Parts. It's a supporting role for Lionsgate, which will be released in, it was released January 16, 2015. And she stars opposite George Lopez, who has admired Lizzie. So we're going to get her on the phone and talk to her about that. And if you have not heard her single Gravity yet, I suggest that you do. It's pretty awesome. And I see that we have her on the line, so I'm going to introduce actress Lizzie Small. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Well, I thank you for calling in. So let's get a little bit about you, Lizzie. I saw your music video and I loved it. I love the song Gravity.
Thank you.
I want to get into Spare Parts and all that stuff. But tell me about Lizzie first.
Totally.
Where are you from?
Yeah, so I was born in Los Angeles, California, specifically in the Valley, and I grew up in a house with three older sisters and my parents, and we always had a dog, and it was really fun, you know, having three older sisters, because you definitely see more than you're supposed to, I guess.
Than you wanna.
Age, yeah, than you might wanna, but it's definitely a lots of fun, and it's never boring, and they've definitely taught me things and helped me, you know, grow up, and it was just so much fun having them, because, you know, now they're my three best friends, and I would never trade that for anything in the world. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you're a lucky girl to be born down there in Los Angeles. How's the weather down there today?
Oh, the weather is wonderful. I mean, there's so many things to do. I mean, my family was very much into food as well. We always were very cultured in that sense. We tried all different types of restaurants and different cuisines, and so that's something that my parents were very much into, and, you know, I love food,
Well, I'm in Buffalo, and it's a balmy 20 degrees here, so you keep that, you take advantage of that nice weather. So, okay, so what, right? So tell me, when is it that you caught the acting bug? When is it that you knew that this is something you wanted to do? Because you've been doing this for a long time. I mean, I remember my son used to watch Hip Hop Harry all the time when he was younger. So, I mean, you know, so tell me about that.
So, basically, it's really funny because this is true, what I'm about to tell you, is that at family barbecues, because we'd always have, you know, family gatherings at my house, I would literally, like, put on shows in the backyard and, like, and like on the kitchen table, I would just start belting out a song. And I don't know, I was always just in love with performing. And so when I was about like 3 years old, 4 years old, my mom enrolled me in ballet classes. And from that point, I was like, oh, I love dancing. I took every dance class I could. And then by about the age of 9, they had this audition at my dance studio for this pilot. And I had no idea really what a pilot was or what even an audition really was. And I was like, Mom, can I do it? Can I do it? And she was like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever you want. So I auditioned for this so-called pilot, ended up booking the part. It was a reality TV show pilot for VH1 where they were remaking the Oh, Mickey, You're So Fine music video with kids. And it was really crazy. And then after we filmed that, I just told my mom, I was like, this is exactly what I need to be doing. I know this is what I want. And, you know, she really took me seriously because I was big, you know, I was really passionate about it. And so I set up a couple meetings with agencies and then it kind of all started from there. But I think everything kind of started from dancing. Dancing is kind of where it all began.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome that your mom and, well, your family is a huge support system, and they can obviously keep you grounded. You know, looking at your Twitter feed and just, you are a very grounded girl, which is awesome
Thank
in
you.
This day and age in Hollywood.
Definitely important, you know.
Yes.
And I think something that's helped that, continue.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think something that's helped that is going to regular school while doing my career. You know, I've never given up school. Of course, there's times where it's hard and you have to miss a lot of school, you know, months at a time. But I've been able to, you know, stay in regular middle school, stay in regular high school, and now I'm in regular college, and I think that's just been such the difference for me, you know, because I have that normal world where I get to just be with my friends and go to class and just be a kid, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of, you know, older girls in Hollywood that have had trouble didn't have that, you know, and they,
exactly.
they were kind of, you know, pulled out of that element, and they have no idea how to deal with reality, so to speak,
exactly.
you know, how to deal with real life situations in real time and not somebody always handling it for them.
Exactly. And, you know, when you become so concentrated and just too focused on one thing, of course it's great to be, you know, driven and passionate and work hard every day at your career, but if that's all you're concerned about and that's all you're constantly thinking about is like work, 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 what am I doing? It's just, you're going to burn yourself out, and it, there's no balance for that. So I think that can be detrimental to a lot of people.
Oh, sure, sure. We've just seen so much of it. It's quite sad, but I'm glad to see that you're not like that, and you're on your
Thank
right
you.
Path, and your family keeps you, you know, the way that you need to be. That's awesome.
Now, thank you.
Okay, let's talk about spare parts. Now, you're starring up against some pretty big heavy hitters in this movie, and it's a true story.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was amazing to work with, you know, George Lopez and Marissa Tomei and Jamie Lee Curtis and everyone, Alexa Vega, David Del Rio, who was my love interest, Carlos Peña Vega. I mean, I don't know, everyone was just beyond nice. From the first table read that we had, I coincidentally just got sat next to Jamie Lee Curtis, and she was so nice, you know, introduced herself, asked me questions about myself, and even just from that first moment, we weren't even on set yet, I knew that everyone was just going to be so welcoming. And then when I got on set, you know, after my scene with George, he pulled me aside and we had kind of like a 10-minute little life chat, and he was more than friendly and just offered me some great advice. And, you know, he came up with a really funny nickname for me. I don't know. He was just so sweet. And then being able
okay,
to,
well,
you know,
can't
watch...
tell me he came up with a nickname for you and not tell us what
oh,
the nickname
sorry.
Is.
Okay, my nickname is Hip Hop because it's really dumb. I was on Hip Hop Harry as a little kid, and he, of course, finds something to make fun of me for. So every time I see him, he's like, Hip Hop, Hip Bone, where are you? And he, like, makes fun of me, but it's funny. So my nickname with him is Hip Hop, and whenever I'm teasing him, I'm like, Hip Hop, get over here. And it's funny. We have little exchanges on Twitter where I call him Hip Hop and he calls me Hip Hop. So, yeah. But he's the best. Yeah, he's the best. And then just being able to watch Marissa Tomei, because I didn't actually have any scenes with her, but just being able to, you know, observe what she was doing, preparing for her scenes, it was amazing. And just having that experience alone, it was like, wow. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Oscar winner right there. She's an amazing actress. And, you know, he is, and George is a great comedic actor, and he just commands. He just takes over a room. When, you know what I mean? It's
totally.
Something about
And he made everyone feel really welcome. And my love interest in the movie, David Del Rio, he was just the sweetest person I could have ever asked to work with. And I you know, kind of became like his little sister. He was the best. And I don't know, everything about being on set was just so much fun, and everyone was so welcoming. The director, Sean McNamara, was always so hands-on, always talking to the actors directly and, you know, just having discussions one-on-one and not kind of calling from his chair and, you know, calling the shots. It was very hands-on. So that was just really, really great to work with someone like that.
Right. Now, let me ask you, are there any... can you talk about any of the challenges in filming or any behind-the-scenes anecdotes that you can share?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely always challenges, especially with working on a set where there's, you know, over 100 extras, because in some of the scenes that I was in, we were at the robotics competition, so, you know, there were 300, 400, 500 extras on set every day, and that's a lot to deal with for anybody, you know? So I would say one of the challenges is, you know, you have to really be gracious with everyone. All these 300, 400 extras who are giving up their time to be in this film, you know, they're working just as hard as everyone else. And, you know, I feel like sometimes people don't recognize that and don't really treat them as well as they should be, you know? They're like, oh, they're the extras. Like, just whatever. And I don't think that's really right. The best way to look at it. And I got to work a lot hands-on with them because I was the leader of, like, our Cornell team, so I had a lot of extras in my scenes when I would be talking and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
a challenge that people have is not recognizing that. And if you do recognize that and, you know, welcome them in and make them feel appreciated, I think that only helps the set flow way better than it would, you know, if you don't. So I think that's something that should be thought about, because I don't think that a lot of people often think about that.
Absolutely. I could see that. You know, they're mm-hmm. kind of like, without the extras, you really don't have much of a
exactly. How do you have cast. A whole robotics competition without the 400, you know, extras who are
people.
Filling in all those people? Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I feel like they just feel like they're kind of brushed aside and stepped on, and no one wants to feel like that.
Yeah, you want somebody to feel appreciated for what they're doing, even if they are only standing there just to hold you guys
yeah.
up. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They should,
you know, we're all part
yeah.
of a team. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very yeah. now. Any bloopers you could talk about behind the scenes? Any practical jokers?
I'm trying to think. Oh, well, everyone did some funny practical jokes, but we had, nobody gets the story, but I'll just tell it anyway because it's embarrassing
okay.
for me and no one else. But we were doing a bunch of improv for the question and interview section where throughout the robotics competition and we're being questioned by the judges and each team member goes in individually. So we kind of did a bunch of improv and Sean would just be like, just do whatever, say whatever you want. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, finally when we're done improvising, oh my God, I can't even explain it. After I had finished, Sean was like, is there anything else you want to say? And I was like, no, sir. Thank you, sir. And then he was like, Lizzie, why are you calling me sir? And I think it was because all the boys on set, as a joke, had, like, this kind of inside joke with the director to, like, always call him sir and be like, thank you, sir. Like, yes, sir. Got it, sir. But I was totally not part of the joke because I'm not one of the guys. And for some reason, by, like, you know, automatic, I was like, thank you, sir, yes, sir, and I got it on camera, and everyone was just like, Lizzie, thank you, sir, yes, sir, and, like, made fun of me for the whole day, and we're just like, oh, gosh, Lizzie, and so ever since then, it was just, like, a funny thing that everyone made fun of me on set for that day, but, you know, I don't know, I guess I just picked those things up, I guess, but I got made fun of, trust me, everyone was, like, laughing hysterically when they yelled cut, and I was like, why is everyone laughing? And then they played it back to me, and I was like, thank you, sir. No, sir. And I was like, what? I didn't even realize I did that.
Oh, my God. That's cute, though.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me about Gravity. And
yes.
You co-wrote this song?
Yes. So I co-wrote it with David Pramick, who is awesome. And I did this past year, my senior year of high school, because now I'm a freshman in college, but I decided to write a 4-track EP because I had always been involved in music and singing, and I had never really had the opportunity to go for it. And so my manager introduced me to this producer, and it all kind of just worked out. We vibed really well, and we ended up writing my 4-track EP, and Gravity was single off of the EP. And so mm-hmm. from there, we had this idea to make a music video and Kickstarter for it, which was a huge chance huge chancy thing for me because I had never done it my own Kickstarter before. And it ended up going way better than I could ever have imagined. And, you know, here we are now with a music video and singles. So it was a really fun journey.
How was the Kickstarter? How did you like doing that? Was that just the first time you used it?
Yeah, it was the first time. So I had always heard about people using Kickstarter and, you know, how great results it can sometimes give, but I had never done it myself. So when I first looked into it, it was, you know, it is a bit of work. You know, you have to create your page and create a video to get people interacting with what you're doing and, you know, maintain the updates. And there's a lot that you have to do, but if you're really passionate about your project, it's almost kind of fun and it's great to get responses from people. And you, when you get a little backer notification, you're so excited. So, you know, creating my own project, I think it was really cool for me because, you know, I'm still young, and so a lot of the things I do, yeah, I get a lot of say, but at the same time, I don't, and there's a lot of people that make, you know, higher decisions for me that I inevitably can't control, but for this, I really
mm-hmm.
was in charge, and clean, you know, I got to choose everything that I wanted, and the storyline was from me and the director, and I was just so hands-on in this whole process, and it really came from me and me personally, that it was really cool. And I think that about, like, doing any sort of thing with Kickstarter, you know, it has to come from you, and it has to be something that you believe in order for other people to believe in it. So it was a really cool experience.
Right. That's pretty awesome. I see a lot of actors, actresses doing that for movies, you know, independent films. And who's the latest one I just heard? TLC is doing a Kickstarter fund for to create their final album.
Oh, wow.
And and I heard Katy Perry donated $5,000 to them, and she added a little thing saying, "I'm no scrub," you know, like in honor of their little song.
So
but
funny.
Yeah. It is. It is. So, I mean, it's definitely a great way to reach out to people for your creative projects. Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And from, like, all over the world, which I had never even, like, Romania and, like, France. I had never even known these people before. And, you know, they just saw my
Kickstarter
project
who you
and started
are, right?
to follow. Yeah, no, they started to follow what I was doing. And they were like, "Oh, we love your music. Oh, we want to hear more." And so that was really cool to kind of gain fans from all over the world.
A fan base, you know, definitely.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's amazing. Now, what style would you consider your music?
Yeah, so I would consider it kind of a rhythmic pop. So it's that's kind of a unique pop. It's almost a mix between Ellie Goulding and Rihanna, if you know the two popular artists.
I do, and I agree.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a traditional pop song. It's a little bit more dark, rhythmic, and edgy. I guess that's how you could describe it.
And who are your inspirations?
Okay, I get this question all the time. Well, growing up, I honestly loved Christina Aguilera. I would sing her songs all the time. I followed everything she did. I was just, like, amazed by how this, like, little girl could sing this. I don't know. She had a huge voice, and she was, like, this tiny little thing. And she also had a lot of R&B influence in her songs and in her style, which I loved because that's kind of something that I do and have always done. So she's kind of who I followed as, like, growing up. But, like, now I love Beyonce and Haim and Sam Smith and Ariana Grande. I mean, I love just such a combination of people, and I kind of like to mix styles. So, you know, a little bit of R&B, a little bit of pop, a little bit of alternative. But honestly, growing up, Christina Aguilera was kind of like my go-to girl.
Yeah, she's got an amazing voice. She can definitely belt them out, boy, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what advice would you give to girls that are, or boys that are looking to do what you do? I mean, you're a triple threat. You're the dancer, you're the actor, you're the singer.
Yeah, honestly, I know everyone says this, number one, before you say anything else, is that you have to be, like, very passionate about it. Because if you're not 100% invested in it, then it's not going to go anywhere, and you're almost going to just resent what you do. So I think that's number one, and that's key, is, you know, being passionate about it and finding new ways to kind of reinvent and reapproach certain things that you're doing, whether it's, you know, practicing certain things or whatnot. I just think that you always have to kind of stay on your toes and, yes, practice every day and be consistent about it and work hard toward it every day, but find new ways and new approaches to what you're doing, because, you know, you will get burned out if you don't love it. And I don't know, that's the main thing. And also, I feel like there you also have to have a balance. Like I said, you know, going to normal school for me really helped, but of course, you know, being focused on your career is amazing, and you should always, there's a difference between being focused and being obsessed. And I think that's a lot of times where people kind of face issues is they become so obsessed and in the wrong way, and they focus on the negative rather than the positive. And so I would say, you know, find a balance, find something that you just love to enjoy, and, you know, kind of balance that with your career, because that'll just give you longevity and not make you resent what you're doing, only love it more.
Right.
Sorry,
now,
that's kind of a long-winded answer.
No, that's all right. And that's it's a great answer. It's a great answer to the question.
Thank you. Now,
speaking just solely, like not even as a radio host, I'm speaking like as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
What is
yeah.
your plan B? Because I tell my kids all the time, you want to do something, that's great. My son wants to play football, great. You want to do, what's your plan B? You need to be in college
yeah.
in order to do these things, and you need to have something to fall back on because these businesses are not guaranteed. You know, it's a very small percentage
yeah.
of people that actually get into, you know what I mean? So what's your plan B?
For me, I try to not look at it as like a plan B, but more as something else that I'm interested in and want to go for. So for me, I'm studying communication and film and media studies, and
awesome.
I mean, my plan is to eventually, you know, write, produce, and create my own original projects and eventually own my own production company, kind of like a Tina Fey sort of thing.
So,
you know, it still incorporates what I love to do, acting, singing, music, the entertainment industry, but it's kind of the business side and the production side and the creation side. And I think it's something that you can do, and I'm able to study it in school and apply it to my life. So, yeah, that's kind of my,
you know,
I guess not plan B, my plan A and a half.
Well, yeah, it's something else
yeah.
that's related to what you're doing, and I think that's awesome
exactly.
because so many people don't have that. And I think that a lot of the problems with, you know, the old, like the other actresses, singers, whatever we were talking about, I think that's a big problem for them as well, is because there's
yeah.
never anything to fall back on, you know what I mean? But
yeah, definitely.
Just speaking to you and watching, you know, clips of interviews that you've done when I'm doing my research, I have to say you are so well-spoken and so eloquent
Thank
in
you.
Your answers. You're funny. You're engaging.
You,
yeah, I could
you
totally
so much.
See as some type of correspondent on a red carpet or sitting there behind the desk with Billy Bush. I can totally see you doing that. You know what I mean?
Thank you so much.
You're definitely
really
on
that.
The right track. I think that you're definitely on the right track. You're an awesome young lady.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So what's coming up for you next?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, Spare Parts is up, so everyone go see it because it's a great true story. But in March, actually on March 22nd, I will be performing Gravity Live for the first time at the Boys and Girls Club Superstars of the Year event. Which is this
exciting.
Amazing charity event. I'm sure you're familiar with the Boys and Girls Club.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Yeah. So, you know, they have amazing outreach programs and after-school programs, and I was able to co-host the event last year, and this year I'm excited to be performing. And it's amazing because they pick a chapter, and all the boys and girls from that specific chapter come and watch the show, and, you know, they're just
mm-hmm.
so excited to watch you perform and meet you after. So it's a really, really cool event.
Yeah, the Boys and Girls Club is an awesome organization, and this is out in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Amazing. That's going to be something else. And now,
I'm really excited.
And then after that, as far as when are you finished with school? When are you going to be doing any more songs that we need to know about that you're working on?
Sorry, what did you say?
Are there any more songs that you're working on? I'm sorry. Are there any more songs
yeah,
that you're working
no,
on?
Yeah, so I have three other songs off my EP that have yet to come out, and I'm also going to
mm-hmm.
start working on new co-writes. So that's all in the works, and I'm just focusing in the upcoming months on live performing because it's something I've never done. So that will March 22nd will be my first, and then hopefully more to come with covers and then my other original songs as well.
Fantastic. Now, just remember, listen, you remember what I said. You're an eloquent young lady and you're doing awesome things out there and you're going to be fantastic. Don't be nervous.
Thank you.
Stick with what you know.
And
yeah, I'm serious. You know, I got a really good vibe off of you. I mean, that doesn't happen that often, you know, phone-to-phone conversations, but I feel like I can say that to you, and you're going big
Thank
places.
Thank you so much.
I can tell.
I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, when you've got some new stuff coming out, any new movies, whatever, you feel free to always come back to Stardish. I loved having you here, and very excited to see what you got coming up in the future.
Yay, totally. I'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everyone, go see Spare Parts out in theaters right now.
Yes, go see
Lizzie
it.
Small. All right,
bye.
Thanks, Lizzie. All right, we're
Thank
signing
you.
off right now at 1:24 p.m. It's January 22nd. Stardish Radio is out. Thank you. Have a good day.